Om Gyanatim Randas Yagyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuamilatam Yenatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I remember last year, and what a wonderful experience it was. Are we're doing it simultaneously, is that the idea, or should I stop just simultaneously, just like that? Okay. Yes, so I think many of you would also remember a very wonderful experience sharing in Krishna consciousness together and feeling that shelter, that security, you could say, transcendentally feeling safe, the lotus feet of Krishna. And I particularly remember the evening programs, feeling safe at the lotus feet of the holy names, and particularly as they are coming from His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj. Very nice. And I was just feeling it now also. Really. Krishna consciousness is so nice. It's, well, it's unique. It's truly unique. And while we were chanting together here just now, I was looking at the picture on the wall there. Picture of Govardhan Hill at Govindakund, and everything was kind of transcendentally tying together in the sense that we're chanting together and taking shelter of the holy names and feeling the shelter of the holy names, feeling the shelter of the company of devotees, and in this way feeling very, very secure and very happy and satisfied. So, actually I enjoy very much sitting here, anywhere around here in this temple room, because I'm very fond of this photograph. I'm very fond of that place, actually, and it was just reminding me. I was looking at the picture and just remembering last year and then feeling again the same sort of mood this year. We're just getting into it, just the beginnings, but it was all tying together with Govindakund and Govardhan Hill, in that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were under attack from the material energy. And Lord Indra, who's one of the great presiding deities of the material energy, was going a little berserk, and so the inhabitants of Vrindavan were under very terrible attack. There were hailstones as big as elephants. You can imagine if one of those landed on you or anywhere near you, what would happen? It would be a disaster. And the rain was falling like, not in drops, but like columns, like pillars of rain. It was a big enough storm to devastate the entire universe, just like at the time of devastation, the end of the universe. Same thing, all focused and concentrated on Vrindavan. But the devotees all took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, just near here, actually, just near this place. Krishna actually was standing, holding the same hill. And all the devotees and cows and animals, of course, they're all devotees. They all came and took shelter under Govardhan Hill. In other words, they all took shelter under Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna, because Govardhan Hill is a form of Krishna, and Krishna was holding Govardhan Hill, so everything was just complete in terms of Krishna's protective presence. And this most extraordinary storm was just smashing and crashing all around them, and it was hopeless, but by Krishna's mercy, by the mercy of Govardhan Hill, by the mercy of Krishna, they were all protected. So we're all facing the onslaught of material nature, and none of us can claim that we don't need protection. Anyone who feels they don't need protection, they're simply an illusion. We're all in great need of protection. So, just like the inhabitants of Vrindavan came here to Govardhan Hill, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, which is a form of himself, and they all took shelter under Govardhan Hill. And despite the fact that that storm was just the most overwhelming thing, but they were all completely protected. They were all completely protected. So we can also be completely protected, and we will be completely protected if we take shelter in the same way, following in their footsteps. Of course, we're not on their levels by any means, but the principle is the same. And Krishna responds in the same way. If we take shelter of him in the form of his holy names, particularly in this Kali Yuga, and in the form of the association of his devotees, and hearing about him, different discussions from Srimad Bhagavatam, in the holy place in front of the deities, we'll also be sheltered. So the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they all took shelter of Krishna under Govardhan Hill, and there are so many descriptions that even though it was such a horrendous situation, but, and Krishna had lifted a hill, just lifted it up from the surrounding ground, and was holding it there on the little finger of his left hand. But, Kavi Karnapur says that it was not just like under that hill that there was just some earth where the hill had been standing, but now, you know, it's just some bare earth, and then above it is just more bare earth, the bottom of the hill. But it was very palatial under Govardhan Hill. There were all facilities for living comfortably somehow. Everything was very nice under Govardhan Hill. It wasn't just a matter of standing on some bare ground with some, you know, rocks and more bare ground over their heads. It was very wonderful. Very beautiful. There were many places to lie down and take rest and just in general have a very comfortable way of life. So that it's like that in Krishna consciousness also. Sometimes people think that if we give up our material life and take shelter of Krishna and just lead a spiritual life and give up materialism, that it's going to be a very stark type of existence and just a harsh type of existence, crude or something like that. But it's not. Everything is there. Everything is there, whatever we need. It's provided by Krishna. Of course, the inhabitants of Vrindavan under Govardhan Hill. They didn't use any of those beds or chairs or other living accommodations that were there. There were parks and all these types of things under Govardhan Hill. But they didn't use any of those things. They just stood there and looked at Krishna. They didn't eat anything. They didn't drink anything. They were just drinking Krishna's beauty. And because they were drinking Krishna's beauty, they felt completely satisfied. No hunger, no thirst. Totally happy and satisfied. There's so many nice descriptions. The cowherd men, under the influence of yoga maya, they were looking at Krishna and thinking, and looking at Govardhan Hill, the bottom of it, and thinking, gee, this is a big hill. And he's just a small boy, after all. He's only 7 or 8 years old. And surely he's getting tired holding this hill. So the inhabitants, the men, they thought, we'll hold the hill. We're big men. He's just a child. So they told Krishna, don't worry, you can relax. And they pushed their sticks for herding cows against the bottom of the hill. And they told Krishna, it's okay. You can take a break now. You can relax. We'll hold the hill. This is man's work. So Krishna laughed to himself. And he said, oh really, you can hold this hill? So then he let a little of the weight of the hill come over on that side where the men were holding their sticks underneath Govardhan Hill. And the men, cowherd men, they saw, here comes the bottom of the hill. It's coming and coming. And so what did they do? They called out, Krishna, help! So Krishna lifted it up again. But afterwards, when everyone was congratulating Krishna and celebrating the success of the whole episode, everyone, even the cowherd men, they were saying, gosh, Krishna did so well. He lifted that hill for 7 days. He held it there. Krishna, they patted him on the back and said, you did fantastically. But as they went away, the men said, you know, it was really us holding it with our sticks. But still, Krishna did very well. And Madhu Mangal came and he saw Krishna standing there. And he thought, same thing, gee, it must be quite difficult holding this big hill, partially under yoga maya and partially, a little bit not. That must be difficult. So Madhu Mangal chanted some mantras for giving Shakti, giving strength. And afterwards, everyone was congratulating Krishna. And Madhu Mangal was quietly telling people, yes, he did very nicely. He did very well. Actually, it was my mantras, really. But he did very nicely. He did very well. So anyway, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were there for 7 days, 7 nights, just drinking the beauty of Krishna through their eyes and fully satisfied, and everything was very wonderful, despite the external circumstances being hopeless. Just hopeless. So, similarly, if we take shelter of Krishna, and if we take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness, we take shelter of the holy names, if we take shelter of the association of devotees, then even though we're surrounded by this material world, and it's also like a very devastating situation, very amazing situation, so bad, so difficult on the material platform. But if we take shelter like the inhabitants of Vrindavan did there at Govinda Kund, taking shelter of Govardhan Hill, taking shelter of Krishna. If we take shelter like that, then Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means all questions answered, all problems solved. It's complete. It's just complete. And you don't need to feel anxiety. You won't feel anxiety, actually. You naturally won't feel anxiety if you really take shelter like that. So, recently you've been getting a lot of association here, we heard. Previously, Estonia was this forgotten corner somewhere, and nobody knew where, actually. But now, so many devotees are coming, and now you're very fortunate. We're very fortunate. Naranjan Maharaj is here again. Tri Prabhu is here. So nice. And, you know, if we absorb ourselves in the kirtan, absorb ourselves in the programs, and absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness in the association, then we'll feel just like that. That Vaikuntha bubble. The world may be going on as it likes, but we're in our Vaikuntha bubble and everything is just wonderful in there. And you look out and you see, oh, what's going on outside? But you're in that bubble, ecstatic little bubble of Krishna consciousness. And what could be better? So I'm happy to be here myself. Thank you for the very nice welcome, and I'm looking forward to having some very nice programs together with you all. Hare Krishna.
So I'm going to speak continuously, right? No stopping. It's going to take me a little while to adjust. I get used to stopping. Now I can't go continuously. So, I'd like to thank Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, first of all, for his nice talk. And just while he was speaking, he was also giving me fond memories of last year, my association with him for three continuous weeks. It was also very inspiring for myself. He's always speaking about Krishna, and he gave us the essence of what it means just now to be in the association of those who always speak about Krishna. This is Lord Kapila Dev describes Nisimad Bhagavatam. Madashya Kata Mishtashin Vanti Kati Yanti Cha Tapanti Vividastapa Naita Mangachati Tasa. Engage constantly in hearing and chanting about me. The sadhus never suffer from material miseries, because they're always filled with thoughts of my activities and pastimes in this world. Taite sarava sadvi sarva sangha vivajita sangaste shatatvetva partya sangha dosha harahite. Lord Kabiladeva was speaking to his mother Devahuti. He was saying, my mother, O virtuous lady, you have to seek out the association of such devotees and become attached to their association, because that attachment will counteract all the pernicious effects of material attachment. Attachment, very important. What is that verse? Krishna, Kapila Dev says, moksha dvaram upavrita. Sa eva sadashu krito moksha dvaram upavrita. Every learned person knows that attachment to material things is the cause of bondage for the living entity. But when that same attachment is applied to the association of self-realized devotees, then moksha dvaram upavrita. It opens the gate to liberation. So, as Lord Kapila Dev says, that we have to become attached to the association of those devotees who are always speaking about Krishna. And the benefit of that is because by nature we should be, every living being is meant to be attached to something. That is our constitutional nature. And under the influence of the illusory energy, we are attached to the body, attached to family, friends, society. These attachments are there constitutionally within a living being. He must attach himself to something, because the constitutional nature of the living being is that he is not self-sufficient. If he were fully self-sufficient, then he wouldn't have to attach himself to anything. But if we examine our own lives, we examine our nature, we'll find that everybody needs, is dependent upon, even to live in this body, dependent upon the air to breathe, dependent upon sunlight, it's dependent upon water for drinking, dependent upon food. And even if we have these necessities of life, still we're not fully satisfied simply by having these basic necessities and necessities of life. We look for the association of others who will complement our needs and effort and our hope to feel more complete. Our desire to feel more complete is there because by nature every living being is complete naturally when he understands that he's an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivera Surupoya Krishnara Nichidas Krishnara Tatashta Shakti Veda Veda Vakash. That is the constitutional position of the living being, that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. Part and parcel. He is Tatashta Shakti. The energy of the Lord which comes in between is described that the Lord has different energies. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tata Para Avijikarma Samgyanachatiya Shakti Ishite. The potencies of the Lord are summarized in three categories. They are the superior energy, which is full of knowledge. And they are the living entity, who, although he belongs to the superior energy, he can come under the influence of the third energy, which is ignorance. Avidya karma. Avidya. It's ignorance invisible and fruitive activities. Therefore, the living being, he is described as tatashta. That he can come under the influence of one of these two energies, either the internal energy or the external energy. The constitutional nature of the living being is to be under the protection of the Lord's internal energy, just as Maharaj was so nicely speaking about shelter. Everyone by nature is meant to actually have shelter. And the Lord is very much inclined to give shelter to those devotees who fully surrender to Him and seek His protection. Just as Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, He says, "And all activities just depend upon Me and work always under My protection. In such devotional service, you should be fully conscious of Me." If you're conscious of Me, you will cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by My grace. But if you do not work in such consciousness and act through false ego, not hearing Me, you'll be lost. So Krishna says, work under My protection. I'm ready to give you full protection. Sarva dhammam parityaja mamekam saranam braja. He says, abandon all varieties of religion, surrender unto Me. I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. Ma suchaha, do not fear. The Lord is ready to give full protection to a soul who has surrendered to Him. What is that protection? Now we understand the protection that every living being is looking for by his constitutional nature is he's looking for that full shelter. Where, as Maharaj described, completely absorbed, always in thoughts of Krishna, not knowing anything but Krishna. Sometimes materialists, when they hear this, they think the devotees are simply escapists. They think, what? They may hear an expression like this about a Vaikuntha bubble, and they think, oh yes, you have your Vaikuntha bubble. But reality is, they always try to reverse it. This is the reality. The reality is, you have to deal with this problem, you have to deal with that problem. Who's going to take care of this, who's going to take care of that? Sometimes they think, devotees, they create a Vaikuntha bubble, and therefore they simply become sycophants in society. Parasites. They live in their Vaikuntha bubble, not doing anything. But that's not the kind of false conception which a devotee has about this Vaikuntha bubble. He knows that actually in all activities, Krishna says, everything that you do, just as Krishna told Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he said that you should perform your prescribed duties of fighting. At the same time, you should think of me. With your activities dedicated to me, your mind intelligence is fixed upon me, he says, surely you'll come to me with this, there is no doubt. The goal, ultimately, is to always remember Krishna, never to forget Krishna. This is the goal, to be absorbed completely in Krishna consciousness. Certainly that is the goal. And for the devotees who are always absorbed and always speaking about Krishna, always absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, to those who actually are fully dependent upon the Lord gives His assurance that He will give protection to that devotee. He will protect that devotee completely of all necessities of life. And He says, if you surrender completely to Me, do not fear. Of course, we find sometimes that we have little doubts, little sort of like residual doubts. Will Krishna really protect me? We test Him. We surrender a little bit and see, okay, is it all coming now? No, not yet. I back off a little bit and maybe I'll... We still have this lingering doubt. Will Krishna really protect me? Now, of course, this full shelter that Krishna is giving His devotees, this full shelter is available to anybody who utilizes his human form of life to increase his awareness of Krishna. It's not that one can simply renounce all activities or can simply renounce all activities and immediately just absorb himself in Krishna consciousness. We saw that in Srila Prabhupada's presence and in his instructions, he didn't encourage such persons to simply withdraw completely and to meditate and try to absorb his consciousness completely upon Krishna. He says, one who simply tries to withdraw himself completely to a secluded place and chant Hare Krishna all day long, then we practically see that it's not possible to do it. The mind cannot be controlled. The senses cannot be controlled. It's very difficult. And Krishna explains also in the Bhagavad Gita that one who withdraws his senses from the sense objects but his mind dwells on the sense objects within, he certainly deludes himself and he's a pretender. He's deluding himself. He says, on the other hand, one who engages his senses and active senses in the works of devotion, he is by far considered to be by far superior. Did you catch that? I heard, didn't hear anything. One who withdraws the senses from the sense objects, but in his mind, within, he's dwelling upon the sense objects. Externally, he withdraws. Right? But internally, within his, he's simply meditating on sense objects. He may externally appear to be renounced, but within, he's deluding himself and he's a pretender. Better to engage the senses. Give them positive engagement. Active and works of devotion. So Prabhupada did not encourage the devotees simply to go to a secluded place and to chant Hare Krishna all day long and then to dwell on sense gratification. He encouraged the devotees to engage their senses in meaningful activities for the satisfaction of the Lord. And the result is that when a devotee engages his mind, his words, his thoughts, his body in the service of the Lord, then what is the result? Savupadi vinyamuktam tat paratvena nirmalam hishikena hishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. There's two byproducts for one who actually engages his mind and in his all his senses. One byproduct is that he becomes freed from all kinds of material designations, all sarva upadis, all designations. And the other is that his senses will become controlled. Automatically they'll become controlled. The mind will become controlled. So, therefore, we have to engage our working senses in practical engagement for the satisfaction of the Lord. This is real protection for the devotee. Krishna says, "In all activities, depend upon me and work under my protection." Right? And all activities, whatever you do, whether you are working at a job, whether you are driving a taxi, whether you are cooking, cleaning at home, house, whether you're a parent taking care of your children, whether you are a pujari offering artik to the deity in the temple, whether you are a preacher preaching Krishna consciousness, doesn't make any difference. In all activities, he says, depend upon me and work under my protection. In such devotional service, you'll become fully conscious of me. The goal is ultimately to become fully conscious of Krishna 24 hours a day. And certainly for such devotees, as we said, Madashriya Kuta Mishta Shinvanti Katayante Cha, for such devotees who are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna 24 hours a day, they never suffer from material miseries. Material miseries do not touch them. Even externally it may appear that material miseries are there, still they are unaffected by the miseries of the material world. Because such devotees, who are completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they're liberated souls. Iha yasya hare dasya kamana manasagira nikala vapyavastasu jiva muktasu uchite, as explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That when one who engages his body, his words and his mind in the service of the Lord, he is a liberated soul. Even though he's still within the body, he's already liberated. Srila Prabhupada gave us liberated activities to engage in. Very simple, liberated activities. That by continually absorbing ourselves in these activities, then gradually what happens is the heart becomes clean. The heart becomes pure. One gradually becomes free from the identification with this gross physical body and this material world. His senses become controlled. And he becomes peaceful and happy within. In other words, he begins to perceive a reality which is far beyond this phenomenal world. The devotee begins to perceive what is reality. The materialists think we're escaping reality, but the devotee who actually practices Krishna consciousness perceives the reality. He knows that this material world is temporary and it comes and goes just like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. As Krishna says, Matra spasha stikonti asitoshna sukha dukha da agama payo nityastang stitikshasa bharatat. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception and one has to learn to tolerate them without becoming disturbed. The devotee knows that this material world, this entire phenomenal world is temporary and he is not a resident of this world. He is simply a temporary guest. He knows that the reality is that which Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj has just disclosed to us. That is the reality. That is the place, the permanent shelter for all living beings who, having once attained, Krishna says, tad dhamma parama mama. He says that place, when all in this world is destroyed, that place always remains the same. That is my supreme abode. When one goes there, he never has to come back. That is reality. Reality is that which is eternal. And that which is simply coming and going is the transitory nature of this material world. This is not reality. Therefore, devotees, they are not escaping. The devotees are actually, by their practices of Krishna consciousness, and chanting Hare Krishna, and hearing the instructions of Lord Krishna, and hearing the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna in the association of his eternal associates in the transcendental realm of Vrindavan. That place, that supreme shelter, that supreme resting place, the topmost abode, which is the highest perfectional stage of life, that abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is available to anyone who takes part of this Krishna consciousness movement. Lord Chaitanya came to give this, to give this kind of loving devotional service. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, he said that I will come and I will inaugurate the Sankirtan movement. And I will make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four loving mellows of ecstatic loving devotional service to Krishna. Chari bhavi bhakti diya nachamu bhuvan. This four ecstatic loving mellows of devotional service, which means that of servitorship, that of friendship, that of parental affection, and that of topmost, of conjugal love. These four ecstatic loving mellows of devotional service are experienced by the residents of Vrindavan. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was telling us about these residents and how they were cowherd boys. They were with Krishna under Govardhan Hill. The cowherd men and cowherd women who had affection of Vatsalya Ras, of parental affection towards Krishna. The cowherd boys who had relationship with Krishna, Sakya Ras. The gopis who have an eternal relationship with Krishna and conjugal affection. These are the eternal associates of the Lord. Krishna Parivar, the eternal associates of the Lord, who are enjoying eternally with Krishna in the spiritual world. And Krishna is so kind that he comes to this world and he displays these wonderful, beautiful pastimes in Gokul to attract the minds of the conditioned souls to this eternal realm of Goloka Vrindavan. He comes and displays these pastimes simply for our benefit. And even when he leaves behind this transcendental abode. And he leaves behind the constant discussion of his activities and pastimes, which help the devotee to realize that transcendental abode. Krishna becomes so pleased by such discussions. He becomes so happy when he hears such nectarian pastimes, as told by Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj about the residents of Vrindavan, who are taking full shelter of Krishna under Govardhan Hill. He becomes so pleased when the devotees take shelter of these descriptions of his pastimes that he actually feels himself indebted to such devotees. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, for such devotees, he says, for them, I guarantee them devotional service. Yayidam paramam guyam madbhakteshva vijasati. He says, for one who explains the supreme secret, for him, devotional service is guaranteed to him. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchin me priyakritama. He says, there's no servant in this world who's more dear to me. There'll never be anyone more dear to me. Krishna is saying this. That's how dear one can become to Krishna, simply by taking shelter of these discussions. When one becomes dear to Krishna, that is success in life. That is perfection. That is his ticket to enter into this transcendental abode, which he's so very eager and to accept everyone to back into this transcendental abode. So eager that he comes himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute this love of the residents of Vrindavan. And he distributes this love, which is all so much easily available, and simply by taking shelter of the Lord's holy name. Everything is there within the whole. Krishna's pastimes are there within the holy name. Krishna's transcendental, beautiful form. His eyes like blooming lotus petals. His transcendental, threefold bending form of Shyama Sunda holding a flute. It's all there. His form, his qualities, his kindness, his compassion, his beauty. Everything is present in his name. As is described in Shikshastika prayer, that the Lord has so kindly made himself so easily accessible in his name. Everything is there. All his potencies are there. For one who takes shelter of this holy name, full shelter, and simply chants this holy name in the association of devotees, for him the whole spiritual world becomes revealed. The whole spiritual world will simply open up. And the Lord Krishna will come personally and he'll take the hand of that devotee and he will bring that devotee by his side and reveal to that devotee his eternal relationship with him. All revealed simply by this holy name. Everything is there. Therefore, this is the great mercy of Lord Chaitanya. This is the great mercy of the devotees of the Lord who've come to give us this method, this means for achieving perfection. In this life, in this fallen, degraded age of Kali Yuga, such an easy process and sublime process that if we simply take shelter of this chanting and hearing in the association of devotees, then guaranteed. Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes use this word, guaranteed. Success is assured. There is no doubt. Krishna says, no doubt. You should not doubt at all. You should be free from all fear. You just take to this process of Krishna consciousness and guaranteed in this life the devotee will actually be able to realize this transcendental realm of Vrindavan and will be accepted as an eternal associate of the Lord and will enter into that place which, having once attained, one will never have to come back again to this material world. That supreme abode is the reality that the devotees are striving to achieve, and therefore they know that they're not escaping reality. The devotees know very well by the association of other devotees who reveal this to them, that by hearing about Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, and by speaking about Krishna, the devotees are becoming more and more fully conscious of reality. Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, who is the transcendent reality, who is the cause of all causes, who is the source and entire cosmic manifestation, and who is the supreme resting place and abode and shelter for all living beings. So, we've come to get a little increase. As Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj has said, so you've had the great fortune to have so many devotees coming here and sharing their realizations about this transcendental realm with all of you. And you should take advantage and you should make all these experiences a cumulative effect in your life. Not just that once they come and then when they go, everything goes back to the way it was before. And we should try to make it cumulative. We should take every opportunity to associate with devotees to always increase our attachment to Krishna. And in this way, by increasing our desire, as Krishna says, Ata chitang samadhatam nashik nosi mai stiram abhyasa yukhena tato mami chaptam dhananjaya. He says to Arjuna, if you cannot fix your mind upon me always, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, you'll develop the desire to attain to me. The desire will come. Regulative principles of bhakti yoga means that every day we must hear about Krishna. Every day we must chant Hare Krishna. I'm smiling because I was having a little discussion with, I'll end here with this one little point. I was having a little discussion with a disciple yesterday. And we were talking about sadhana. And he was asking me, what does he need to do to improve his sadhana? So I said, well, the instructions of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada used to say, He even said this sometimes. He said, this should be sufficient. If the spiritual master says you should do this, then that should be sufficient. You should do it. So then he asked, what instructions do you have? So I started to speak about the importance of sadhana, and I began describing. I began describing Goloka Vrindavan and the associates of Lord Krishna, the cowherd boys, and the cowherd girls, and the cowherd men and cowherd women, the cows, the trees, the plants, Yamuna River, Govardhan Hill. We had a whole little session about Goloka Vrindavan. And then I ended, and I addressed this devotee, I said, and if you want to actually remember this place, then it won't happen unless you have sadhana. And I said, sadhana means every day we have to remind ourselves about this transcendental place. Every day we have to remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're His servants. There's a transcendental abode. And then I said, I called out the devotee's name. I won't call out the devotee's name because some of you may know him and I don't want to embarrass him. I said, this devotee's name, I said, you have to make an alarm every morning. And his name, Prabhu, wake up! Wake up! There's another world! This world is temporary. There's another world, and you have to wake up and enter into that world. It's that world of Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna, cowherd boys. So he was recording it for the whole time. So, and I said, wake up about 10 times. So he said, now I've got the answer. He said, I'm going to take this recording and I'm going to put it in my alarm clock. And he said, I'm going to set, he has one of those alarm clocks, and I guess if you have a cassette, you can have a cassette in there. And I'm going to put it in my alarm clock and I'm going to have it ring every morning. And everything I'll be hearing is the instructions of the spiritual master. Wake up! There's another world! You want to know something? This morning he was at Mangalarti. For the first time. I can't remember seeing him. I guess he must have used his tape recorder. Anyways, so our sadhana is meant to help us to wake up to this transcendent reality of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says, if we simply every day, if you can't fix your mind upon me, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, you'll develop the desire. Regulative principles of bhakti yoga means that every day we must hear, every day we must chant, every day we must try to remember. And these are the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. If we do this every day, then as Srila Prabhupada gives us this assurance, success in Krishna consciousness is assured in this life. We'll go back home, back to Godhead. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Maybe Trey Prabhu would like to say something.
Anantamandasya ganajana shalakaya chakshamiditam dina tasmai shri garave namaha. Namahum Vishnu padaya Krishna prastaya bhutale shimadi bhakti viranta swaminiti namane. Namaste Saraswati devam gauravani pacharane nivishesha shunyavari paschata adesatarane. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm certainly very thankful to be allowed to come here and invited here. I'm also very embarrassed to speak after such great exalted personalities. We should realize just how fortunate we are to be able to have the association of such devotees. I can say from where I stay, it's quite rare to have so many devotees, young devotees, congregated together to chant and dance, and to hear from such exalted Vaishnavas. It was so wonderful to hear. I was so happy to find out from Niranjan Maharaj when he invited me that Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj would be able to travel with him. It's just like being in Vrindavan. It's like the Krishna book in person. Prabhupada told me in a letter that I should especially, of all the books, especially read the Krishna book. He said, whenever you have a spare time, you should read the books. He said, especially the Krishna book. Yeah. But I don't have very much brain or memory capacity to absorb. But when the Krishna book becomes personified, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami is so much absorbed in Vrindavan, just by seeing the picture, he immediately is all pastimes. And by hearing Niranjan Maharaj chant Hare Krishna, is so ecstatic. Immediately entered into that transcendental reality. And then the details are revealed immediately after by Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. So I really feel extremely thankful and look forward to these following days to be able to. And we should all not waste one moment or waste one bit of our time in other things, but try to absorb as much as possible and hear as much as possible. I personally like very much hearing Bhakti Chaitanya Swami describe Vrindavan. Just, I also like very much Govinda Kunda. It's a very special place, a wonderful place. Even just 500 years ago, as we know, this tree on the right side, he described the eternal pastimes there in Govinda Kunda. And just 500, only 500 years ago, which is a very short time actually, because I know where I live in Italy, there's so many buildings that are 500 years old. Many people live in buildings. There's so many monuments, churches that are 500-600 years old. And it's just fresh. People still live in these places. So 500 years is a very brief time, 500-600 years. And right underneath that tree, just 500-600 years ago, great personality, great saint, Madhavendra Puri, who came to introduce the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to pave the way, you could say, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. He stayed underneath that tree, and also it's just so wonderful to imagine, to think about how he was there and Krishna personally came to him, personally came as he was chanting, as Niranjan Maharaj so beautifully expanded on, how Krishna is present in his holy name, how Krishna, everything is there present in Krishna's holy name. And there we can see Madhavendra Puri underneath that tree. He was Krishna in person, personally came as he was chanting, not eating, not sleeping, just he said he was dozing off, but we know the pure devotee doesn't, he never goes into ignorance or forgetfulness or sleep in the sense that we do. So but as he's chanting, Krishna personally came to him to serve him, to give him, as we know, to give him milk. Because as we know, Govardhan is such a wonderful pastime because I like it very much because it's the one festival day in Krishna consciousness where there's no fasting, only feasting. Govardhan is so merciful, so kind. I remember being one time with Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. We came to Aniyur, and he was telling the pastime. We were walking there with a group of devotees, and he was telling the pastime of Aniyur. Give more, give more. Such wonderful pastimes of Krishna Prasadam. So devotees, they can associate together in such a wonderful way by hearing the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, chanting the name of Krishna, taking Krishna Prasadam together with all the Vaishnavas, and that way live in the spiritual world. And that is so, I don't need to elaborate on, but they so wonderfully described how we're protected, we're actually freed from the influence of the material nature, completely protected by absorbing ourselves in these pastimes, absorbing ourselves in these activities given to us by Srila Prabhupada for living in the spiritual world. And it's real, it's actual available to everyone, available to every one of us. We just have to take advantage of it. There's no bar, there's no restriction on who can take advantage. It's just up to us, our desire. I was just reading yesterday that. So there's nothing to stop, it's just our desire. If we want the desire, we can immediately go to the spiritual world. So, by associating with such wonderful devotees, we can somehow develop that desire to enter into Krishna's transcendental pastimes, his reality. So we should all, I feel very fortunate to be able to be here to take advantage. I hope we can all encourage each other to take advantage of the association of the devotees. It's very rare and the greatest treasure in all the three worlds to be able to have the association of advanced devotees. And Srila Prabhupada has empowered so many, not just one, but empowered so many wonderful Vaishnavas to travel all over the world, dedicated their lives, traveling all over the world, speaking Krishna's pastimes, chanting his holy name, and delivering those, even those who don't want to be delivered. Because just by coming in contact with the devotees, those who are even not looking for it, they're becoming delivered. So I just encourage everyone not to miss any moments or waste any time or be distracted, because it's such a rare opportunity. Life is very, very temporary in this world, as Niranjan Maharaj explained. Very, very temporary. I was just yesterday visiting one old friend, old devotee, a gun brother, who's just about, he probably will have left his body by the time I get back, most likely. Sumaka Prabhu, I don't know if you know. And our time here is very limited, counted. We don't know how long it will be. We don't know how long we may be here. So therefore we shouldn't waste any moments in taking advantage. When Krishna sends us such great opportunities, we shouldn't miss that opportunity. Take full advantage. We'll feel great benefit. I could feel immediately. I could feel just in the kirtan and then hearing. So wonderful, the kirtan and then followed by revealing the pastime of Govardhan, Govinda Kund. Immediately felt in Vrindavan, immediately felt transported to Vrindavan. And I'm sure if we just concentrate all together in group, then each day we'll become more and more ecstatic. And we'll feel in this bubble, protection of the Vaikuntha bubble, Vrindavan bubble, of Govinda Kund. And we can meditate so many pastimes. We know that the Kund itself is the bathing of when Indra, he felt so ashamed of his behavior. And he came, as we know, he came to beg forgiveness from Krishna and offer prayers. And he brought his elephant and his Surabhi cow. They both bathed Krishna here in this place. That's why these pastime places are so important. And so now even just to see the picture, you can be there and absorb yourself in that pastime. And that's what's described in the Krishna book, that this is our process. It's separation to meditate. Through chanting, constant chanting of Hare Krishna, and remembering by the mercy of Jai Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. Krishna so kindly appeared on this planet and left these pastime places so that just by seeing them, visiting them, and associating with the devotees, we can remember these pastimes. And we have such a fortunate opportunity to have such wonderful devotees who can reveal and open up all of these wonderful pastimes to us. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.